God's word in this portion of scripture. How we minister, how we work, how we do God's will for our lives, even during adversity. Now, for many of us, it's easy to do what God expects us to do when everything is going very easy in life. When you're on that ocean of life and the waves are just gentle. But it's hard when the waves become big. It's hard when they start coming over into the boat, if you will. You recall there's many times that the disciples had some issues where they struggled. And one time was when they were on a boat, remember. And they even said, Jesus, you're going to kill us. What are you doing? You're sleeping and we're in the storm and this is happening. What's going on, Jesus? It's hard sometimes to do God's will when adversity is coming against us. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the church at Philippi under inspiration of God. He's addressed, as we looked thus far, some of the common things they've had. He told them to remember, and he talked about remembrance. As you recall, the first message we looked at this. And then we looked at that of remembrance. And then he looked at the common salvation and the common service and the common things they had in common. And then as he went through, he talked about how love needed to be present and how love needed to be there in their lives. And then at last week, we continued that thought of love and continued the thought of the fruit of righteousness and how that fruit of righteousness was in their lives, and that fruit of righteousness needs to be in our lives. And who produces that fruit of righteousness? It's God that produces that fruit of righteousness, and it needs to be demonstrated in our lives. Now, Paul comes to verse 12, and I believe Paul gives some insight of one of the other reasons that Paul is writing this letter. Paul is writing this letter to address the concern that the church at Philippi had for Paul being in prison. There are several commentaries that speculate, and they say this thought. They believe that the letter that the church at Philippi, or the message that the church at Philippi sent through their pastor that got to Paul, went something like this, and that's why Paul addressed this issue. Poor Paul! I don't know what you're going to do. You were trying to do God's will, and now look where you're at. The ministry's not going to continue without you, Paul. It's not going to continue. The gospel's going to be hindered. It's not going to be furthered. And then Paul addressed their concern in verse 12. And he shares some thoughts in regards to the gospel, the ministry, continue even when adversity comes. If you're able to, please stand with me. Philippians chapter 1. Verse number 12, please. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the thing which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the places, in all of the other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the words without fear. Heavenly Father, we ask that as we look at your word this morning, that you would just illuminate your scriptures to us. Lord, help us to see this truth that you want us to see. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. You ever wonder why bad things happen to good people? Anyone know how many books have been written in regards to why bad things happen to good people? Now, that's not all the exact titles. There's many variations. I did a quick search this last week to see how many self-help books or how many other books that are out there that would address this issue, why bad things happen to good people. Anyone have a guess? I know this is Sunday morning. We don't let you talk too much, but. Yeah, there is. But how many books are written out there? Why good things happen? Bad things happen to good people. What's that? Yeah, we're going to talk about John Bunyan. He's an illustration that we're going to talk about. But there are many books, self-help books, out there. Because a lot of people struggle with this. And I'm going to tell you, those books don't address the issue. Okay? Because we're going to see why bad things happen to good people. We're going to talk about God's sovereignty. We're going to talk about how to handle our doing God's will in place of adversity. And in place of that in our lives. Now, I did a search. There is over 300 books that have been written to address this issue of why bad things happen to good people. Now, I want to tell you, we may think it's bad, but if it's happening in your life as a believer, it's not bad. There's a reason and purpose that you are going through the circumstance that you're going through in your life. And God wants to take every circumstance, no matter if we think it's bad or we think it's good, and turn it into good, because he's using it, to, as we looked at earlier on, to mold us and to make us into what he wants us to be. Now, as we look at this thought, I want you to look at Paul's response and what Paul said to this church. Look at verse 12. I want us to first see, as we see this thought of ministering during adversity, I want us to see Paul the messenger. The Paul the messenger. Look at verse number 12. But I would ye should understand. But I would ye should understand. That phrase, should understand, is to get acknowledge of or perceive. He wants them to understand. Now, in that time, in Philippi, persecution was not something they just read about. It's something they endured. It's something that they saw daily. This idea, and as they're writing to him, and as Paul's writing back to them, as Paul is expressing this, but I would ye should understand, brethren. I want you to have a knowledge of what is happening, what is going on. Now, many times we read about things, but what becomes real is when you and I are going through that in our lives. And Paul is saying to them, I want you to have knowledge of, I want you to understand, I want you to see what you think is bad, what you think is that I'm going through is not going to help anything. I want you to understand it's for God's good. I want us, as we continue this thought of ministering and being in God's will even during adversity, it is for God's good. Paul the messenger said, hey, I want you to have knowledge of. This is for good. This is not for bad. We need to have a different perspective of how we look at the circumstances that we are going through in our lives. We need to have a different perspective of how we're looking at the heartaches that you're facing, the trials that you're facing, the things that you're going through in your life. We have to look at it differently. What do you want them to have knowledge of? Look at verse 12. That the things which happened unto me have fallen out of rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. What has happened to me is not for bad. It's not for the gospel to be hindrance. It is for the gospel to be furthered. It is for that gospel. Paul the messenger is saying, hey, this is going to make the gospel spread even quicker. This is going to help the cause. This is not going to hinder the cause. That was Paul's attitude and what he was facing as he was in prison, as he's addressing and writing this letter. He says, don't you think this is bad? This is good. And he's going to go on and explain how this is good, how this is helping, how that's going. Now, I want to address some thoughts this morning. So we keep this in mind. We each of us need to be doing God's will in play, even though adversity is happening, even though obstacles have come up, even though things are not the way we are. We need to continue. Because why? God can further the gospel even during hard times. But let me be honest with you this morning. I believe some of the adversity that we have faced as a nation should have furthered the gospel, but it's hindered the gospel. I believe some of the adversity that individuals in this room and watching a live stream in our world today that are facing should have furthered the gospel, but it's hindered the gospel. Paul says, my circumstance is not going to stop the gospel. It's going to further the gospel. I believe we have seen among believers today that we have allowed our adversity to keep us from God's will. I think we've seen it in our churches. I think we've seen it in our nation. I think we've seen it in lives of individual believers. I posted something in the very beginning of this craziness that we've been facing for over 2 years or longer, however long it's been. I said, it's time to grow, not to shrink. I kept that up there. It's still up there. When you walk in the door, I've kept it up there. And do you know, I believe many have shrunk and not grown. I just want to be honest this morning. So I think it's high time that we get a wake-up call. Because I believe we have shrunk. And I believe in our nation, in our world today, the gospel is not being furthered like it should. We have allowed the adversity. We have allowed the negative. We have allowed what is happening to keep the gospel from going out. Paul said, church, Philippi, don't you worry. The gospel's being furthered. The gospel to be spread, sent out, which has happened unto me, have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Don't you think it's bad for me? It's good. You know what we want to do? Well, I would do God's will, but I was trying to do God's will, and look, I'm in prison. Look where I'm at. All I was doing is preaching the gospel. All I was doing is following God's will. Look at me. And you know what? The gospel's going to stop now because I'm in prison. You know what? That's what we do. We get to this place and say, well, you know what? I try to live for God. And look what has happened. Look, I lost my job. I try to live for God and look at my kids and look at this and look at that. I try to live for God and all this is happening. The adversity is coming and the problems come and I've had this hardship and I've had this problem and I've had that problem with my spouse and I've had that problem over here at work and I've had this and I had that and poor pitiful me. But Paul says, don't you have a concern for me? Don't you cry for me. This is good. This is good what I'm going through. It's going to help. Paul the messenger said, hey, this is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Do you know what we faced in the last few years? Could be a good thing. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. Do you know that we could have used it to spread the gospel more than we ever had before? We could have used it to let people know that there's a God even in the midst of all the chaos and all the bad things happening and how corrupt everything was and all that's happening. There's still a God that loves you. There's still a God that cares. There's still a God on the throne. There's still a God who's sovereign. There's still a God who went to that old rugged cross for you. There's still God. But you know what we've done? We've gotten back and said, well, God's still there. But man, look what's happening. Look at this person that we worship. He's not on the throne anymore in our country. So we're going to just take our toys and pack up and hide. God's still on the throne. The gospel need to be out. I tell you, there's nothing wrong. If you want to talk politics, talk politics. I don't care. That's all right. But you know what happened? Almost every individual I ran into and talked to, you know what they talk about? They talk about President Trump. They talk about Biden. They talk about this and that. But you know who they don't talk about? God. Do you know many individuals that I've talked to even recently and said the only hope for America is to get a certain person back in leadership? Let me tell you, the only hope for America is that we come back to God. And we need to get back where we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're letting people know that God loved them and died for them and rose again the third day. That's the only thing that's going to change this world. He says the gospel is going to continue. You know, the gospel spread through Paul. God always used trials and afflictions to spread the gospel. Paul and Silas. Isaac mentioned Pilgrim's Progress. The Church of England put John Bunyan in prison for preaching without a license. And it was during that time that he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Now look at verse 13. I want you to see. And you could go to Acts, jot this down. We don't have time, but jot down Acts 28:16 sometime. Because what we see is this. There's evidence and thoughts of something. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And then you go to Acts 28:16. This is one of the areas that it shows that even the gospel reached into Caesar's home and his palace. Now, what allowed the gospel to do that? What allowed the gospel to get into the palace and other places? What allowed the gospel? He says, my bond in Christ, my imprisonment, my adversity has furthered the gospel, and it's even further the gospel when it's able to go into Caesar's home. Wow. He said, that which I struggle with, this is Paul the messenger, what I was struggling with as I was in all the adversity I faced has allowed the message of Christ to reach places that it would not have reached before. Do you know why you go through some hard things in life? So you can be a blessing to someone else down the road. Do you know why you're going through some of the adversity you're going through? It's not that you shrink, not that you stop, not that you don't do God's will, not that you don't allow the will of God, the gospel of God to further. You are going through it because you're going to be able to reach people and you're going to be able to be a blessing to people that if you weren't going through it, you wouldn't be able to minister to them to fill God's will. Don't get, oh, poor me. Hey, it's a blessing that you've gone through some things. Why? Because now, because I've gone through it, and God's given me the grace, and God's given me the victory, God's given me the help, I can minister, I can talk to someone else, I can share with them. I tell you, all of us have gone through some things that we wish we never went through in our lives. We face some accidents. We face some other trials. We face some other things we've gone through. But let me tell you, those things, if we allow it, can help the gospel, not hinder the gospel. Even what we faced recently as a nation, do you know we can use that to help, not hinder? Do you know you can share more now with some people than you could before? Do you know more doors are open today with people allowing you to talk more religious? Now I'm using that carefully, you know what I'm saying, than we could before, even in our workplaces. Do you know there are some even workplaces that have allowed people to have rooms for prayer and have places where they can meet? Not everyone has to go, but they give them opportunity and they give them places to go ahead and do those things. I tell you, in place, in our adversity and what we're facing and what we're going through, do you know the gospel can be further? It doesn't have to be hindered. He was able to go to Caesar's. He was able to go into the palace and the places and the other places. Why? Because he looked at it, God, use me in spite of what I'm facing. And take my obstacles and use it for your glory. That's Paul the messenger. But I want you to see some other truths here. I want you to see Paul the motivator. Paul the motivator? What do you mean? Do you know what we do sometimes? We allow our circumstance to hinder other people, not encourage other people. Do you know what you're facing, your adversity you're facing? We can do God's will in the face of adversity. Do you know when we're going through adversity, we can encourage people, but you know what we do? We hinder people. Because instead of the gospel's not being furthered, but you know what else is happening? We're stopping someone else to further the gospel. Because all we talk about is how terrible our life is. All we talk about is how hard this is, and why am I going through this, and why is God allowing me to go through this? And God doesn't, I tell you, I thought God's a loving God, and why is a loving God letting me go through this? He doesn't want me to be miserable my whole life. He doesn't want this in my life. He doesn't want these things. I tell you that we can let it hinder instead of helping. I want you to look at Paul's life. If anyone had the opportunity to cry, if anyone had the opportunity to pout and throw in the towel and quit, it would have been the Apostle Paul. But what does he say? And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Did you get that? Because of my imprisonment, because of my affliction, because of where I'm at, there are some that didn't speak that are speaking now. And now there's those that did speak that are speaking more boldly without fear. Because they saw the example of Paul, Paul the encourager, Paul the motivator, because they saw Paul's attitude. There's others that jumped in and says, we're going to follow, we're going to go after, we're going to do God's will too. Do you know we need to encourage people even through our difficulties in life? It's okay to let people know some of the difficulties you're facing. They knew Paul was in prison. But Paul says, don't you think poor, pitiful Paul. He says, don't think that. This is good. And because of Paul's attitude, there's others that said, we're going to serve God. There's others that said, we're going to take up the cross and follow after God. We're going to do what God wants us to do. He says, because of my bonds, because of that, they came and they waxed confident by my bonds and much more bold because they saw God's hand in Paul's life. They saw God take care of Paul, even in prison. They saw God give Paul the words to speak. They saw what God did in Paul's life. They said, we want that and we're going to do it. Think about your life and my life just for a moment. You're going through some adversity. You're going through some hard times in your life. I believe many of us are, okay? If you're not, wait till tomorrow. It's going to come, all right? We know that, right? And for some of you, it might not even make it to tomorrow. It might be in 5 minutes, all right? We know it's coming. We know it's coming. But you know what's happened? Instead of people saying, we're going to serve God because of our example in our life, people go, I'm going to quit too. Oh, wow. That person went through some hard times. That Christian life is way too hard. Oh, man, they've struggled through some things. Oh, I don't want that. I'm going to go ahead and live how I want to live. I don't want the Christian life. That's not what happened for Paul's life. There's others that jumped up and said, hey, we're going to wax confident by the bonds, by the imprisonment, by what Paul was facing. We're confident that we need to continue to live for God. Because Paul's in prison doesn't mean we got to stop. Because others have gone through some hard times doesn't mean you can't live for God. Just because there's been some problems that's happened in the nation, just because some things have taken place, doesn't mean we need to stop this morning. We are called as a church to be a lighthouse in this community. We're to rise up and we're to live for God and serve God and shine bright. It's time for those who called themselves to be believers to look at the lives of those that have gone before us and serve God and live for God. Say, I'm going to do the same in my life. I want you to look back. I want you to look back at some of the martyrs. I want you to look back at some of those that gave their lives for the cause of Christ. I want us to look back and I want you to see those that have taken a stand and say, praise God, and God give me the strength so I can stand just like they did. Paul motivated them. How is our life? Are we motivating others to serve God? Even in struggles? Even in hard times? Are we even living for God during that time? Because if we're not, we can't encourage others to do the same in our lives. Now look a little further here. And much more bold to speak the word without fear. He said some were afraid. Now they're not afraid anymore. The Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The Bible says we're not to have the spirit of fear. We can have the power. We can have all we need. We need not to be afraid. Because of Paul's life, there are some that weren't afraid. Well, you say, why weren't they afraid? Paul's in prison. Weren't they afraid to be thrown in prison? They weren't afraid of what was going to happen because they saw Paul's life and they saw Paul was confident in Christ and said, this is a good thing. I cannot tell you that someday may not come that you and I'll be thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. I think it's coming. I think some of you that are younger, you're going to see it. I'll just be honest. I think we're going to see it. I think especially some of our younger people are going to see it. I think it's going to happen. But you know what? We need not to fear that we're going to be thrown in prison because we look at that as an opportunity for God to use it. We need not to have fear this morning because of those who have gone before us. They gave their lives. They weren't afraid. Do you know God has taken deaths of individuals and used it for his glory? One in the Bible comes to my mind, a man named Stephen. Do you know the result of Stephen? Do you know one of the guys? Now, I understand God saved him on the road to Damascus, but do you know one of the guys that were probably there, that was there? During Stephen's, what's that? Saul Paul. Do you know what death can do? Why are you afraid? Why are we fearful what this government may do? Why are we afraid and we sit back and we're not speaking the gospel and preaching the word of God? Why are we afraid? Why do we have fear? Oh, we needed to be careful and we needed to watch and we needed to make sure that we're wise stewards and we understand we need to make sure we take proper precautions and all that. I understand that. But why we live in fear? We need to preach the gospel and live for God and do God's will without fear. Look with me in verse 15. But you see this thought too as he's talking about this. There is those that gain confidence by Paul's bonds. But verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. You know what he's saying? There's those that were confident. There's those that went out. But there are some that were doing it because they were in competition with me. There's those that did it because they thought it was going to hurt me, not help me. But that didn't matter. What mattered is the gospel was going out. I want us to think about that for a moment. You know what we do many times in our lives? We look at this as a competition. Now, I understand we need, please hear me this morning. I understand we need to be careful in what we believe. We need to have the right doctrine. We need to have that. But I want you to hear this. Now, please make sure you hear what I'm saying. I don't want this taken wrongly. Do you know there's other churches out there besides this church? Do you know there's other churches that don't even have Baptist on the name that's okay church? Now, please let me finish before you start casting the tomatoes in the back at me, all right? We have got to a place that if everyone doesn't dot every I, cross every T, exactly like we do, we write them off and say they're apostasy. They're not doing. Now, I understand there are key doctrines. You cannot change salvation. Salvation is Jesus Christ and Him alone. You cannot change that. That's a doctrine. That's a truth. You cannot take away the blood because without the blood, there's no shedding of the blood. We can get into all the major doctrines. We can get in and we talk about that. You can't change those. Those that teach something of that different of that, that's another gospel. And that is not correct. That is we got to stay away from. That is we can't condone. That we can't push. Why? Because they teach something else. They preach something else than Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. All right? But let me tell you, I am, and I'm going to, hear me out, I am a Baptist by conviction. And I'm going to tell you why. Not because of a denomination. Baptist was not started as a denomination. All right? The Baptist was a name given to a group of individuals that believed the Bible, followed the teachings of the Bible, went against, were not ever part of the England church, not ever part of those churches. They were a group that was always separate from them, and they were called Anabaptists, is the name that the Church of England and others gave this group of believers that believe those truths, that name of Anabaptist. That means re-baptized or baptized again. And that was not a nice term given to them because they said they were teaching that you had to be baptized twice and they didn't take that. No, they were saying you had to be baptized correctly according to the Word of God. Baptism comes after salvation. It is that, and we don't have time to get a whole baptism thing. And that was the reason they were given the name. Then over the years, the Anna was dropped, and that's where Baptists come. Now, I understand there's Baptist denominations today. I understand there's the General Association of Regular Baptists. There's the Southern Baptist. There's American Baptist. There's the National Baptist. There's the AWE. And there's all these different groups that become denominations, and I understand that. But here's the truth of the matter is, those that were given the name Baptist believed Bible doctrine. That's why I'm a Baptist by conviction. Not a denomination Baptist, but a Baptist that follows the Word of God. There are churches that don't have the name. And I know I'm going to get labeled as a heretic here in a minute. That don't have the name Baptist that still teach Bible doctrine, Baptist doctrine. I might not agree with all their polity, okay? I might not agree with how they run their church. I may have differences based on the Word of God, how the church should run and how things should be done, and that should be done. But I'm not going to condemn that church if they believe the Word of God and they're preaching the Word of God and they're going out sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what Paul was saying here, there are some that got motivated. There's some that's doing it. Now, they might not be doing it for the right reason. They're not doing it for the right motives. I don't agree 100% with what they're doing, is what Paul was saying. But they're still preaching the gospel. We need to praise God for those still preaching the gospel. Now, I want to give an illustration of this, because some of you are still looking at me like, I can't believe you said what you said. All right? Anyone know the name Billy Graham? Now, I'll tell you, Billy Graham was not exactly like us on how we do things. But can I tell you, Billy Graham preached the gospel? Do you know there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that got saved as a result of the ministry of Billy Graham? But let me tell you, Billy Graham had a different view on church polity than you and I would have. Billy Graham had some different views on how, even what constitutes a church and what does and different things. He had some different views on some other stuff, all right? But guess what? God still used his life. God still used the ministry that he had. And God still blessed it. And souls were still saved as a result of it. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, we need to be thankful. Even though some mean it bad, God can still take the gospel and mean it good. Some were trying to do harm to Paul. And Paul says, it doesn't matter. The gospel is still being sent out. And then he says, some did it for goodwill. Some didn't. But look at verse 17. We see Paul, the messenger, Paul, the motivator. But I want you to see Paul, the magnifier, verse 17. But the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and rejoice. You know what he said? I'm not going to judge that person. I'm going to rejoice that the gospel's preached. Do you know what we need to get back in doing? Rejoicing that the gospel's being preached in our world. You and I need to be preaching the gospel. But we need to be rejoicing that there's still those that are standing for truth and preaching the gospel. We need to rejoice this morning. We need to rejoice that the gospel is being presented. But look a little further. For I know, verse 19, that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ should be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Did you get this? You know what Paul's saying here? He wants Christ to be magnified in his life. Above everything. Above his name, Paul, P People think of Paul, a great person. He says, above my name, above my imprisonment, above everything, either life, death, it doesn't matter. I want Christ to be glorified, magnified in my body. I want my life to be about Christ. You know what Paul was telling that church at Philippi? He says, I want, above everything, Christ to be lifted up. Do you know when we go through adversity, you know what we lift up? Our problems. You know what Paul lifted up? It wasn't that he was in prison. You know what Paul lifted up? He lifted up God, and he wanted, no matter what happened to him, that Christ be magnified and lifted up. He didn't lift up the current circumstance of the day, the wickedness that was happening in that day. He praised God that the gospel was preached, and he praised God that he was able to be used of God, and he says, I want Christ to be lifted. You and I need to praise God, and we need to ask God to magnify himself through us, that we can be used of God. We need to lift up the name of God. I tell you, we can do God's will, even when we're facing hard times. God is sovereign, God is in control, and God is the one on the throne. And we need to understand that we need to lift up the name of God. We've all gone through hard times. But through your hard times, we need to still do God's will. We still need to magnify him. Instead of saying, well, look at this. God, I praise you that I could go through this today. You know what we do? I can't believe this is happening to me. No, you know what we need to say? God, I thank you that you gave me this and allowed this. And Lord, through this, I don't see how, but I want you to be magnified. I want you to be lifted up. I want your name to be glorified. Oh, I had this person say this to me, and I had this bully do this, and I had this happen this, and I had this take place to this. But Lord, I want you to be magnified. I want you to be glorified through my body. Lord, through my bonds, through what I'm facing. Lord, I want you to be lifted up. We need to lift the name of the Lord up this morning. Instead of complaining, let's lift the name of the Lord up. Magnify him. Now, last verse I want you to look at. It's a verse most of you could quote. And look, we're just going to hit it a little bit today because we're going to use that next week as we get into the next section. But look at verse 21. What does it say in verse 21 of this text? Look at this. Most of you can say this. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know what Paul said? He says, I want you to be magnified, Lord, because my life is not my life. My life is your life, and that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Nothing else matters this morning except Christ and living for him. Nothing else truly matters. We got to get that concept in our heads this morning. My God needs to be lifted up, and he's going to be lifted up when I realize it's not my life, it's his life, and I'm privileged to be able to be on the face of this earth with breath to live for him. Do you know why you and I have breath? To live for him. Do you know why he saved you and me? So we can serve him. It's about Christ. It's not about what you and I want. It's not about our trials. It's not about our adversities. It's not about our feelings. It's not about our emotions. It's not about any of those things. It's not about even what's happening in this world. You know what our life is about? It's about Christ and living for him and magnifying him and lifting him up. That's what matters. And when you and I, see, all fingers point back here. When you and I get to that place where Christ is truly magnified and we truly get to the place it's all about Christ, that's when we're going to see something take place. And that's when we can continue to do the will of God. And even in the midst of adversity that we're facing. Because when it's about Christ, and I want Christ magnified, I don't care if I'm on cloud nine. I don't care if I'm in prison with chains on. It's still about Christ. I don't care if everything's a bowl full of cherries, or I don't care if I have a bowl of rotten tomatoes. Christ still be magnified, and it's all about Christ. It doesn't matter if I have some issues at work or if everything's perfect at work. Christ still be magnified, and it's all about Christ. We can go through each situation in each area that we struggle with in our lives. It doesn't matter what we're facing. Christ still can be magnified, and his name needs to be lifted up, and we need to focus on Christ and live for him. Is God's will furthered during your adversity, or is it hindered? What's your message? Are you motivating others? Because you're living right, even in the midst of adversity. And so they see Jesus. And because they see Jesus, that encourages them to live for God. Are you rejoicing because the gospel's being presented? Are you rejoicing because there's others, maybe not the exact same color you are or the exact same stripe you are, but you're praising God that they are continuing to serve God and live for God and taking the message out? Are you magnifying God in your life? Are you lifting up his name? Is it all about Christ or is it all about us? Let's continue to do God's will no matter what we're facing in life. Let's serve him day in and day out. Heavenly Father, we love you.